Good morning. You've tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week on Friday, May 1st. This is Panhandle Community Radio, and I'm Jack Peterson. I'm here with Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jack. And how are you this wonderful sunny morning?
It's absolutely feels like the 1st of May.
It's May Day, yeah.
It's a nice sunny spring morning, and it looks like a great weekend ahead. And the Twins won, and the Wolves won, and the Wild won. So it's a great day to be a Minnesota sports fan as well.
There you go.
I know, yeah. So you ask how I am, and I say I can't complain about anything at all.
Okay.
Yeah. We're also here with Jack Freeman, who is the city and education reporter for the Bonner County Daily Bee. Hi, Jack.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. It's a sort of a quiet week in local news. Kind of feels like the calm before the excitement, anyway, of the big May election that is coming our way. But in statewide news, we've got a couple of important announcements. Let's see. The ballot measure to end the Idaho abortion ban has announced the organizing group behind it has announced that they have met their signature goal, and they do expect that measure to appear on the ballot in November. Also expected to be on the ballot is a medical marijuana initiative. But these items will not appear on the May 19th ballot, rather on the general election ballot on the first Tuesday in November. The Lake Pendere is currently observed at 2,054.75 feet above sea level, the surface of the lake. That's the observation at Hope, which is about the same as it was last week. But it is projected to rise dramatically, more than 1 foot by next Friday. I'm not actually sure what's the cause of that. One imagines that they're going to be beginning to intentionally raise the lake level at a more dramatic rate as we get more into the recreation.
I think they watched the snowpack and how that's coming off. And with our smaller snowpack this year, my guess would be they're calculating that they better start filling it up because it may take a while if the snowpack runs low.
Yeah. Speaking of that, you could learn more about it if you wanted to educate yourself. Army Corps of Engineers will be giving updates on the Albany Falls Dam, which will include some updates on spring refill and other lake information on Thursday, May 7th at Sandpoint Center. That's the big bank building on Church Street between 4th and 5th. That update from the Army Corps of Engineers, which is, let's see, the time of day of that event is 5 to 7 p.m. 414 Church Street. In county news, a new fair board member was appointed by the county commissioners. Sarah Mitchell is the newest member of the Bonner County Fair Board, and there is one more opening on the fair board that's expected to be filled. They already have some applicants in for that, the same applicants, I believe. Let's see. Over in Priest River, Jake Gabel, who has been with the city planning department since he left the county planning department, he will expand his role in the city of Priest River to become their first city administrator, if I have that correctly. I don't believe that's a position that's existed until now. He was unanimously appointed by 4-0 by the city council, and he'll be kind of maintaining, he'll be the day-to-day head of operations for the city of Priest River, working as kind of the go-between between the mayor, the council, and the city employees. The milling and paving improvement project on Pine Street here in the city of Sandpoint has resumed, and Pine Street is currently closed to traffic between Boyer and Division. I can confirm this based on firsthand reporting that I did this morning. They are closed down between Pine Street, or on Pine Street between Boyer and Division. That's expected to be completed by mid-May, according to Sandpoint officials. Urban Forester Eric Bush said last October that the project will increase the lifespan of the asphalt on Pine Street by around 15 to 20 years. Project's going to cost the city about $287,500, funded by the city resort tax. Also in city infrastructure news, street restriping is currently underway. It was announced to be taking place on Tuesday, May 5th and Wednesday, May 6th, but I can tell you for sure that they've been doing it downtown. They've already begun here this weekend, although that's parking spaces, so perhaps they're saying that the actual restriping of the center lines will be done on Tuesday, May 5th and Wednesday, May 6th, weather permitting. And in other downtown revitalization news, city officials announced on Tuesday that they had received a $650,000 grant from the state of Idaho for downtown revitalization and changes to the street and parking system downtown. That current work is part of an ongoing transition from downtown streets that were controlled by the Idaho Transportation Department to a system run by the city of Sandpoint, dating back to when the bypass was constructed along Sand Creek, which changed the highway traffic to run outside of the city largely, or not, at least not through the streets controlled by the city. We have also here in the room with us, Jack Freeman, who spoke to city planner Bill Dean in last week's, was it the North Idaho Business Journal, I think? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that we're talking about his take on the downtown core and changes expected to be coming our way from city council and from the city planning and zoning commission, changing downtown, what is currently the downtown core, into a downtown core and a downtown outer core, and what changes we can expect from that zoning move. Let's see, this week or next week on May 4th and 5th, the Daily Bee, as well as the Sandpoint Reader, as well as this radio station 88.5, and the Selkirk Association of Realtors are presenting candidate forums for the upcoming primary election. That will be at Sandpoint High School at 5:30 p.m. in the auditorium. Sandpoint High School is at 410 South Division Street, if you've never been there before. Plenty of parking, and you're welcome to attend in person, or you can listen right here on 88.5 KRFY, or however you're listening to this radio station now. Let's see, we've got on May, you may have to help me with the order here, Chris. It's county offices on the 5th. It's state offices on the 4th.
Yes, yeah. Monday, okay. May 4th.
Monday, May 4th.
State legislature races.
Okay.
Of which we have three contested, both House of Representatives and Senate. And then on the county, there's only now two contested races, county clerk and commissioner district 2.
Yeah.
And the county races will be on Tuesday.
Yeah,
May 5th.
Tuesday, May 5th.
But we're inviting all candidates, even those that are unopposed, to come and make a statement, talk to the voters a little bit, as each candidate will, even if they're unopposed for some of these races, as they are invited to come and give an address to the voters.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. It's a very busy weekend. Lots of events coming up here in town, and if we have time during this program, we mentioned earlier the lake level, which is affected by the snowpack. And Jack, you had an extensive article about what this unprecedentedly warm winter means for our summer, what we are expecting, which we'll get into a little bit later. Let's see. We could start with, I guess, the... Well, how about this? Did I miss anything? Any important news items that you want to call to our listeners' attention that I haven't mentioned in our headlines here?
I think you got the most of what I had on my list, Jack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're good.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of smaller stuff we can talk about after we covered a few things here.
Yeah.
Like the flocking of our studio.
Right. Yeah, that's
we got flocked, but we'll come back and talk about that towards the end.
Yes. We had a flock of flamingos in here for a couple days, but they've left us now. I guess they moved on to their new nesting ground. Let's see. Big changes coming to downtown. It starts with a coat of paint on the streets. But it's not exactly brand new spanking news. There hasn't been any major moves by the Planning and Zoning Commission or the or City Council. But since it is a quiet news week, maybe we have a moment to kind of discuss where we think the city is headed as far as what the plans are for the downtown revitalization, as they call it. What's going to change downtown? We can talk about what's going to change to the streets, the street infrastructure, but also you talked to Bill Dean, our city planner, about kind of zoning changes, mm-hmm. which, if I kind of understand correctly, the zoning changes are the planning department, which has made recommendations or made at least potential suggestions to the Planning and Zoning Commission, which is the city commission. That commission will then take those recommendations and choose to modify them or recommend them to city council. And right now, the Planning and Zoning Commission is just kind of weighing their options for what to do. Is that right?
Well, not really. I think when I talked to Bill, and we kind of had, at least this article is more of a philosophical discussion kind of around planning as a whole.
Yeah.
Kind of using Sandpoint as an example of how a planning department even builds a downtown and what that looks like. And so that's kind of what I talked about with him. But the city's approach to this downtown rezoning thing has really been to slow roll it and tackle different things at different meetings. You know, they are, because it's so dense and there's a lot to dig into when you get into the specifics of writing code and what you actually want the downtown to look like, they have varying discussions. You know, one meeting I know that they talked a lot about, you know, they spent an hour on building heights, where do we want the building heights to be, and then the next meeting it'll be talking about building design and design standards and things like that. And so what we're kind of seeing from the city and the Planning and Zoning Commission right now is a very thoughtful effort to try and get this right before they bring it up to, even themselves for a vote. Right now it's been almost purely discussion at all these meetings, just kind of getting feedback on the direction that they're going so that when they bring this big code amendment later in the year, it's not a shock to anybody. That's been thoroughly thought out in a public manner.
Yeah, it does, and it does seem like they're. I mean, the city's had some issues in the past. I'm thinking kind of this, the way that the parking changes to parking rolled out. There were a few occasions where, without assigning blame to anybody, it seemed like some people were suddenly caught off guard or down. You know, the downtown businesses were made aware of some changes and they kind of were up in arms opposed to them, which the city responded to, you know, and took those concerns into account. But it seems like as they move forward with the planning and zoning changes, I guess, as you've elaborated upon here, that it, they're taking a very thoughtful approach and really trying to get people's opinions. The relationship between the city and the business community and the residents is, the communication lines of communication seem perhaps more open.
Yeah, that's something that I talked about with Bill Dean, you know, throughout this entire, you know, exercise that they're ongoing. He's had his ideas and brought them forward, but also made it clear that he really wants to hear from the community and build their downtown of the future, and kind of use his expertise to craft that. You know, he's the building heights discussion was a big one that they went on for. I think it was maybe two meetings that was kind of talked about. And that was something where a lot of the people on the Planning Zoning Commission were like, hey, I think our building height should be low in downtown, in the core. We don't want to restrict our view corridors and things like that. And so that's something that he's also made clear. Every time I've talked about it, you know, you think when you're going to go talk to a city staff, you're talking with the expert, and they're going to have this genius idea to, you know, save downtown. And while they are the experts, they definitely are looking to do it the way that the residents and the business owners would like it to look moving forward.
The term you just said, view corridor. I don't remember if there was another term he used, but I know, yeah, that it's been important to, yeah, basically not to, even as city building heights may raise, to make sure that nobody's view of the scenery around here is impacted, which is, I mean, yeah, that's the reason so many people live here, right?
Got a pretty good example going up on Church Street where
the view is impacted.
Yeah, it's impacted with those.
Yeah, and people are not happy about it.
Right.
So, yeah. Those 2 4-story apartments are going up side by side there.
That's right. Yeah. Let's see. That's pulled up the wrong thing, but so the split, the zoning split between, I can't remember what it's called. It's
downtown A and core B, and downtown outer core.
Yeah.
Those are two new zones that they're proposing that would kind of have different rules to encourage commerce and business downtown. The biggest change that would maybe affect residents is they're talking about allowing residential on the ground floor of the outer core, which would be mean people living really close to downtown, and that could be a significant shift, because you can live here now, but you have to be on the top floor, and there has to be commercial down low, and so that could encourage some developments, and that's something that I've talked about with Bill Dean quite a bit, and his answer is, you know, the heart of your downtown is the people, and you got to get people down there to spend money and everything like that, and the best way to get people that they've talked about is just, hey, why don't we make them live down there? And then you can walk to these restaurants and things like that.
Yeah. The downtown core, so not the outer core, but the inner core, there was at one time a conversation about basically not allowing offices on the ground floor either. Mm-hmm. And it would be strictly commercial.
Retail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think right now that is that still in conversation, or is that out of the question entirely at this point?
That's still in conversation. I think they're trying to look at the best way to do that. Obviously nothing's final until the city council approves it. Mm-hmm. Originally, you know, it was just real estate offices, 'cause that was some of the feedback that they had been getting, was real estate offices are kind of empty on the ground floor a lot of the times.
Yeah.
And things like that. I believe as of now, they're trying to look at offices kind of on the top floor allowed in the core, but not on the ground floor. So we'll see kind of how that develops. I think that's an encouraging conversation to have. It's not like anybody's going to get kicked out of their offices, obviously. It would just mean for the future, for new, nobody could come in and build a huge office building in the downtown core.
Right. Okay. Let's see. I think anything to mention about the new street design I know we've talked about this plenty on the radio, on the airwaves before, but for folks who are maybe just tuning in and haven't heard our conversations about the changes to the traffic pattern before, that $650,000 grant, I mean, that seems like that's going to move things right along with this, the big changes to downtown traffic, to it's going to be narrower.
Church to Lake that they're going to be rebuilding.
Narrower traffic lanes, expanded pedestrian and bike lanes, and then there's that that famous what is it called, a bump out or traffic like table or something,
a raised intersection is how I've referred to it, but I mm-hmm. know there's a name for it. I just never remember because it's from Europe. It doesn't stick with me.
And that would be at the intersection of Bridge and First, which is kind of a tough intersection to design anything for.
I don't envy the designers on that one.
Well, let's see. Would you like to talk a little bit about the weather, Jack?
Why not? It's so beautiful today.
It is.
Why don't we talk about the weather?
It's so nice. It's easy to just pretend it's a perfect spring day and there's nothing to be concerned about in terms of the weather. But of course, we had almost no real winter this year.
Mm-hmm.
So the snowpack is incredibly low for the fourth year in a row, I think.
Fourth year of drought in a row.
Yeah. And you spoke to a hydrologist from the Idaho Department of Water Resources, mm-hmm. who gave you a look at. I always think of the fire danger, which of course there is. I was interested to see this is also going to affect what fish population, right?
Yeah.
What are the impacts that we're looking ahead to for this summer from a winter that was so unseasonably warm and wet, but not snowy?
Yeah, that's made it really difficult. One of the things that I talked about with the hydrologist is usually they use historical years to look back and say, hey, you know, we had this amount of snowpack, so it'll probably look like this year and we can prepare for that. And what he told me basically was, we haven't had a winter this warm since 1934.
Mm-hmm.
And that was during a nationwide drought during the Dust Bowl and everything like that. And so while it was wetter, we haven't really, they don't know what it's going to look like. They're kind of preparing for a pretty severe fire season. Although that, you know, has, some human element to it as well, but, they're definitely preparing for the unexpected, in a way, because they don't know what to look for. There's never really been a, winter that's been this warm. So a lot of what we talked about, in the article is looking at the Lake Ponderay, obviously. I don't think the lake level should be affected at all, but, there might be times where, he talked about, like you said, the fishing, the sport fishes or cold water fishes. And so there could be times where if the water is really warm and we get in a seasonably warm summer, you know, kind of above average temperatures like we've seen for the last 4 years, then we'll end up seeing some fish killed, or fishers could, you know, sportsmen go out and they catch all these cold water fish, and they end up accidentally killing them because it's so warm at the kind of higher level at the lake, whereas they would need to be lower. So it'll be interesting to see how it progresses. But I think the biggest takeaway that I had was just that it's never been this warm and they don't know what to expect. Hopefully there isn't a severe fire season. Hopefully we don't see a lot of these negative effects come into play, but they can't even predict that won't happen.
Yeah.
And actually, they're formulating up a prediction for possible El Nino to form up. That's the big ocean current that affects our weather here pretty dramatically. And the latest Climate Prediction Center forecast is 70% chance it's going to develop starting now through June and then stretching into winter, which would be bad news. It means warmer temperatures, and in the Northwest, it typically means it's a little drier too. So, pretty serious.
Yeah. Well, I guess everybody be careful with your, with those fires. It's going to be kind of touch and go all summer long.
Unless we get rain.
Mm-hmm.
We could get rain. Sometimes El Nino in the summer will bring a little bit more rain. So that might be nice if that actually happens.
That could be good. Yeah. Let's see. We have a few minutes left. I mentioned, of course, that we've got those forums coming up on the 4th and 5th, early next week. I personally have not been there. There have been a few other ones, but they've all been in the other cities out in Clark Fork. There's been one in Priest River. There's been one. There has not been one here in Sandpoint yet for any of these candidates. So they'll be meeting in front of a Sandpoint audience for, I believe, the first time on the 4th and 5th. This year, I should say, most mm-hmm. of these candidates have actually been have run against each other before. You are which races are you covering for the B?
Yeah. I'm all state races, so okay. I'll be there on Monday covering it and writing an article about it on Tuesday, so you can look out for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The state races are for state legislature, or for House of Representatives, seat 1A is between Mark Sauter and Jane Sauter in the Republican field, and there's also an uncontested Democrat running, Karen Mattei, who will be on the ballot in November, but not she'll be running unopposed in the Democratic primary. In House seat 1B, Cornell Razor, the incumbent, is facing Chuck Lohman, who they ran against each other for that seat last time around as well. And then there's an independent in the general election for that, Catherine Larson. And then in the Senate race for the Republican nomination is between Scott Herndon and the incumbent, Jim Woodward. And then an independent in the general election for that in Steve Johnson. Yeah, a lot of familiar names. Now, Jack, I don't think you were here when last there was a state election. So
I was not, but I'm expecting it'll be pretty contentious on Monday, judging by what I've seen so far.
It already is contentious.
It is, so. Yeah.
And we'll mention we did have interviews with for the contested race, the Republican candidates, on the last few Wednesdays. So you could go to krfy.org and hear individual interviews with the candidates. The different set of form is they get to face off against each other.
Yeah.
So they can call BS on each other if they're getting off script or, you know, shading the facts.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been interesting to read and to listen to those interviews with the candidates where they aren't facing each other, especially because a lot of times they talk about completely different things. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, they'll throw mud at one another a little bit, but a lot of times they're just, you know, they're not addressing the same topics whatsoever when talking about what their priorities are or where they think they would be the better representative. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it will be interesting.
So, Jack, before we go, we're about mm-hmm. at our time here. So the studio got flocked. And
it did, yes.
I came in on Wednesday morning, and we had like 100 little plastic flamingos scattered around in here.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about that? Who's responsible for that?
It's Leadership Sandpoint was responsible for that one. And they're hosting an event actually this Saturday evening out at the Sandpoint Organic Agricultural Center.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah. And it is for the benefit of the Bonner County Historical Society Museum. That organization, Sandpoint Leadership, does a fundraiser every year, usually in May, usually around Cinco de Mayo, but in this case, it's out at the Sandpoint Organic Agricultural Center. They're hosting a local trivia night and
local history trivia. So
yes,
if you know your local history, you could go there and just totally win stuff, I guess.
You could, yeah. I should go. I think I'm a ringer now. I could do. I know.
You should
know.
You do that.
I know.
That history thing.
I do
with on Mondays.
Yeah. I do. Yeah. I don't know what any of the questions are, but I do know. I do know some of the. I bet I would do pretty well.
You don't know the questions, but you know the answers.
Exactly. I know the answers. yeah. Anyway, that's coming up on Saturday night, and that and those flamingos that you may have seen around town have been moving around to raise awareness of that. Did the bee get it? yet?
We did not get flocked yet. I'm kind of jealous.
I got. So I was asked.
Let this be a call out.
I know. Yeah,
I'll be in the office all day.
I should. I should have sent him over to you. I sent them. I sent them elsewhere, but I did get the chance to pick who they go to next. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Also going on this weekend, it's the first farmers market of the year at Farm and Park. It's also the 3/4 minus cycle tour. Watch out for gravel bikes riding around, and they will start and end at Matchwood Brewing and then head on a big loop out towards Colburn Culver and Pack River area. Let's see.
Community Appreciation Day for Pisney is on Saturday as well.
It is.
From 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and it's at their place there at 1424 North Boyer Avenue. So that's going to be a real good family event. They're going to have carnival games, face painting, temporary tattoos, maybe even a permanent one. Who knows? Better not do that.
Yeah. Let's see. It's the first Friday of May. That means the Pondere Arts Council has their opening reception, and all next week is Live Give 7B and the Idaho Gives nonprofit giving locally campaign. So that's a
which we're part of that.
We are, yeah.
If you're inspired to give, KRFY is a good beneficiary of gifts because it keeps us on the air.
It's a 501c3. All donations are tax deductible. Well, we've gone over our allotted time, so I guess it's time to go. Jack, you're writing politics next week. Anything else in the upcoming paper that we should look out for?
Oh, man, I'll be at events all over. I got a Sandpoint City Council meeting on Wednesday, and I'll probably be at the Albany Falls Dam meeting on Thursday, too. So if you want to meet me, I'll be out and about and writing all about it.
Okay. Look for Jack. Yeah, he's out there. Okay, well, we'll go back to the music here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio, and there's a little Buena Vista Social Club.